May we all take our Bibles in our hands, please, and turn to Philippians, the first chapter. Philippians chapter 1. I have been expounding to you this epistle, and I was inspired to do it by virtue of the fact that on August the 21st, I was in Philippi, where the church was born to which Paul wrote this epistle. And of course, I will continue next Lord's Day, but today is communion, and we have just a brief word of meditation before we go to the table of the Lord. But when you take this epistle in your hand and you read it, this first chapter, you see, as I've outlined it, the great salutation in verses 1 and 2. And then we have, beginning with verse 3 and continuing down through verse 8, Paul's appreciation for the church or for the saints. He's thankful for them. He prays for them. He has fellowship with them. He has great confidence in them. And then beginning with verse 9, we have Paul's prayer. And we dealt with that beautiful prayer last Lord's Day. I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve the things which are excellent. He wants us to be right at the very top of the list so far as our excellencies are concerned, that we may be sincere and without offense, causing offenses around us that hinder the gospel. And then that we might be filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Now that's as far as we've come in our exposition, right down to the end of that prayer. Now we begin a section in which the Apostle Paul gives his own personal testimony. And this runs all the way through the rest of this chapter. But in his personal testimony, the first thing he does is to appraise his difficulties. He gives us his personal evaluation of his imprisonment. He's in trouble, he's in jail. And so he reports to us concerning what he thinks is taking place as a result of his being imprisoned. And it's a beautiful statement because he says what's happened to him is fallen out to the furtherance of the gospel, and he's not distressed about it at all. And then after he gets through giving us this appraisal of what he thinks of his suffering, he proceeds then in verse 19 to tell us what he thinks his sufferings have done to him. What effect this has had on Paul. And Paul says he thinks it's going to be a very blessed effect on him because it's going to mean that he's going to have more of the Spirit of God than he had before. And he's very much in favor of that. It also means that his boldness is going to be strengthened. He's going to be very courageous in his presentation of the gospel. And then after the apostle finishes telling us what he thinks this experience is going to do to him, he then proceeds to develop this glorious concept of what Jesus Christ does. He is everything to Paul. He's everything. Paul says, to me to live is Christ. Christ is just everything. And what I would like you to see just now as we come to this communion table is that in this whole section, over and over again, it's Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. Everything centers around Jesus Christ. Notice, if you will, just look at this. Will you please just look at this? You begin there with the 12th verse, 13th verse, my bonds, he says, in Christ. Verse 15, some indeed preach Christ of envy. Verse 16, one preached Christ of contention. And then we move on down, and he says in verse 18, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. Oh, he's so interested in this preaching of the gospel, preaching of Christ. Verse 19, he says, the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Then verse 20 again, he says, also, always as now, also Christ may be magnified in my body. Verse 21, to me to live is Christ, you see. Verse 23, to depart and to be with Christ. You come on down, verse 26, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming. Then verse 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. All the way through it's Christ. And finally you get down to verse 29, and he says it's given unto us in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Beloved, it is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, he's the only one, he's all we need, he's everything that Paul had. And as Paul speaks about his experiences in prison, as now he writes the Christians, he's speaking about Jesus Christ. And it's so beautiful to notice that in the sixth verse, when he's talking about how much he appreciates them, he's confident that the Lord who has begun this good work in him or in them will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He's speaking about that day when Christ is going to come and we'll all be perfected in his sight. And then in verse 10, in that prayer which we considered last Sunday, he speaks about being sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. Beloved, it's Jesus Christ. Everything is Christ. He's our life. We're looking forward to that day when he will come and the dead will be raised and we'll be with him. Everything the Apostle Paul had to think about was Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. And beloved, that's the way it should be with you and me. No one else save Jesus only. He's the one who made the atonement. He's the one who dealt with sin. He's the one who satisfied the demands of infinite justice against us because of our disobedience. Oh, the exceeding sinfulness of sin. And oh, the exceeding deceitfulness of sin. It is so deceitful. But Jesus Christ has removed all of these things. He's taken all of this out of the way. He's cleared the path for us. And the path of the just is as a shining light. We are in Jesus Christ. And beloved, this is the Savior who was raised from the dead. And now as we come to the table, he's the one who knew we needed it. He's the one who ordained it and commissioned it. He's the one who said, do this in remembrance of me. In remembrance of Jesus Christ. Now we'll expound this. We'll develop it more as I get into this epistle and develop it for you. But, beloved, we believe in Jesus Christ. And it's given unto us not only to believe on his name, but also to suffer for his name's sake. And we are a company of Christians. Our faith doesn't change. Our Savior doesn't change. Redemption doesn't change. But all that the Christian faith has is in order that you and I might change. That we might be born again. And then that we might be made conformable unto his image. God wants to change us. God wants us first to be born again. And that's the miracle that brings us into his kingdom. But he wants to change you now. He wants us to be more like his Son. He wants us to grow in his grace. He wants us to spend our lives getting closer and closer to Jesus Christ. Now let's come to this table with our hearts set upon this one, the Son of the living God. And may his grace abound in our souls as we feed on him as we trust in Him and as we delight in His grace. May God richly bless us at this table just now. Now may we turn in our church hymnal, please. 292, Break Thou the Bread of Life, Dear Lord to Me. We'll sing just two stanzas. The elders will gather in the rear of the church and come down either aisle, and we'll take the microphone down to the communion table.
Descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our Savior, on the night in which He was betrayed, took bread and He blessed it and He gave it to His disciples, saying, This bread is My body which is broken for you. And after the same manner, when He had supped, He took the cup and He gave it to His disciples, saying, This cup is the New Testament in My blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. Drink ye all of it. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank Thee for this holy table, these holy words of institutions which fell from the lips of our Redeemer. And now, Father, we ask that Thou wilt consecrate these elements to this purpose of grace, that our hearts shall be filled with faith. We shall be the recipient of Thy mercy. God bless us as we sit together. For Christ's sake, amen. May I ask, please, that we all hold bread and we'll eat together. And likewise, when the cup is served, let us all hold the cup, and then we'll sup together. This table is the table of our Lord, and those who are born again, who've made their public confession of their faith in Christ, we invite you to join with us. But the unbelievers, the scandalous, those who blaspheme and turn against God, this is not their table. It's the table of those of us who sincerely and genuinely seek to serve our Savior. And you children who are here are not to take it until you have made your confession and are received into the communion of the church itself. And now the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and he gave it to his disciples.
What we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, and who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given unto him, that it should be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him, are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. What shall we say then? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but freely delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail, or whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. Been overlooked in the passing of the bread. Will you lift your hand, please? And our Savior said, "Take and eat."
Savior took the cup and he gave it to his disciples. Seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new.
And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And there came one unto me of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away to a great and high mountain, and he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a great wall, and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the name of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was of jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the streets of the city were of pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination nor maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life.
And our Savior said, drink ye all of it. Thank thee for this great sacrifice. We believe that what Jesus did was completely satisfactory to thyself. And now we're free. Free from its curse. Free from its tempest. And someday when he comes to call us, we shall forever be free from the presence of sin itself. God, give us that love which we long to have in our hearts for thee and for one another. We thank thee for this church which is the bride of the Blessed One. And oh, Father, cleanse us, sanctify us, send us from this place refreshed. May we say, now are we clean through the word which thou hast spoken unto us. Be with those who traveled long distances to get here. And as they go back again, bless them where they are. Bless every member of our church scattered across this land and in even foreign countries today. May they receive a benediction from heaven as we wait upon thee. Father, our lives, our times, our years are in thy keeping. We spend our days as a tale that is told. But Father, may it be a glorious tale, a beautiful story of how we live and die for Jesus' sake. Amen.